Welcome back to our study. We are in chapter 4, and we had just read verses 1 and 2 at the end of the first session here. And if you'll remember, Moses is exhorting the Israelites to adhere to the statutes and the judgments that Moses had taught them, to do them so that they may live, so they could go in and possess the land that the Lord had promised their forefathers. And he also told them, don't add to the word that's been given to you, and don't take away from it. Just adhere to it.
Was they would not obey the commandments of the Lord. Or I could say it this way. They would not obey the word of God. They ignored it. They wanted to do their thing. They wanted to look at other nations and be like other nations, and ended up ultimately worshiping other gods and all this type thing. And it's you know, you can easily criticize them for doing that. Well, why did they do that? Why? They knew better. Well, why don't we read the Word of God? I mean, it's the same principle. We have it, and just like it was Moses' obligation to keep those commandments before the people, and then he appointed these judges that were to judge according to the Word of God, give the judgment of God in these particular cases. Well, when you look at the responsibility of a minister today, a representative of God today, he's to do the same thing. It's not about opinions. It's not about likes and dislikes. It's about what God says. And that's why it's our responsibility to keep the Word of God before you, remind you of how important it is for you to look at the Word for yourself. You study the Word, and you keep it before your eyes. It's like God told Joshua, don't let that book of the law, don't let the Word of God stop coming out of your mouth. Why would it stop coming out of your mouth? When you stop looking at it. When you start looking at other things are going to come out of you, you know. What you focus on grows, right? Mm-hmm. Things produce after their own kind. You focus on the wrong thing, you're going to produce the wrong thing. And so we need to learn and grasp hold of this principle of the importance of obeying the Word of God. And when I say the Word of God, that would include the written words, obviously, but also the spoken Word of God. What God speaks to your heart by the Spirit of God, that is a legitimate word from God. And so you do what God says. You don't violate that. You don't ask people what they think. You must go with what God says. You know, I was thinking in there in the office a while ago how every corporation, business, whatever, the mother company, or I was thinking actually of McDonald's, how you can buy a franchise. But it doesn't matter who owns that franchise, they have to follow the protocol of the company in order to keep that franchise. And so there's rules and regulations set down by that covering, if you will. Well, there are different ministries and all that, but we're all under that same covering. There's a protocol that we must follow. And God's not going to violate His Word for me, for you, or anybody else. He's not going to change it. And so it's our responsibility to know the requirements of God, to know the Word of God, and then to implement those things. We put them in practice. He told Joshua, you meditate on it day and night to observe to do. In other words, you observe it so you can put it into practice. That's what this Bible is all about. This is not about poetry. This is not about history. This is about principles of God that we must learn and put into practice in our daily living. It's not just a book to preach from. It is a book to live by. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
I can't overemphasize that.
That's good. Verse 3. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal-peor. For all the men that followed Baal-peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But you that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day.
So they have example. We have example. Just like here at Baal-peor, what did they do? They turned away to God. They intermarried with women of other nationalities that worshipped other gods. And they started following their gods. And so they turned away from God. And God said, destroy your people that have turned away from God. Then you take care of that. You eradicate that evil out of your nation. You understand? We have these examples written in the scriptures for us to go by. You see what caused God to bless people. You see what caused God to get angry with people. And it all has to do with obedience or disobedience. The blessing is in obedience. The anger, the fury of God is in disobedience. See, God's anger poured out on His wrath is poured out on the children of disobedience, mm-hmm. not the children of obedience. So if you don't want the wrath of God, obey God. Be a child of obedience, not someone that's disobedient. You follow me on all that? Okay. They had the example. We have the example. God doesn't sweep stuff under the rug. God deals with it.
Verse 5. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep, therefore, and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people.
You know, it's a pretty powerful statement.
Mm-hmm.
First off, Moses had the obligation of teaching the nation the ways of God. That hasn't changed. Our leadership should be teaching the nation the ways of God, not the ways of perverseness and the Antichrist things. As ministers, we should be teaching people the ways of God. I can't do them for you, but I am responsible for doing them myself and then teaching you what the Word of God says. But here's the thing that's so interesting about that. If you will do what God says, it will make you so distinctly different that other nations are going to observe this.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to observe that the Israelites are wise. They're an understanding people. God dwells among these people. Well, I'm going to tell you that hasn't changed. If we as the body of Christ would do what we're supposed to do, we would be recognized as a wise and understanding people with whom God resides, and not only resides, but actually manifests through. That ought to be an incentive to get our minds on the Lord, hadn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather be considered wise and understanding than foolish and ignorant of the ways of God. And I could go off on that, but I'll be nice. But I will say this, that for many years, this nation, through the education system, has taught children to be unwise and not children of understanding, so they don't know the ways of God. They're taught the ways of the world, the ways actually of things mm-hmm. against God. They taught perversity, not righteousness. Mm-hmm. We have a responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Verse 7. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day?
You think about that. What other nation has God so near to them that they can petition him at any time? Mm. You think about this. We can talk to God day or night. You understand? Mm-hmm. You don't have to be in a particular location or a particular building. You can talk to God all the time. He's there. He dwells in us. And then you think about the things that his commands, the things that he asks us to do. They're righteous things. And so that means that we would be giving righteous judgments. We would be following righteous judgments. And we would allow righteousness to govern us as individuals, to govern us as a church, a college, a nation. If we just do things God's way, get God back to the forefront. And I declare that this is a nation under God. And I'm not going to take that out of the pledge for nobody. The Creator God is the God of this nation. The Creator God is my God. And I want to give him the glory and the honor that he's worthy of. Whether it's popular or unpopular, we're going to make it popular. Amen?
Amen. We've been talking about this from, and Moses, of course, is addressing the nation of Israel. But as we've learned many times before, it starts with the individual.
It's always an individual. You know, the church is what? People. Mm-hmm. Not buildings. The church is people. And so you get the people's heart right, the church will be doing right. And when the church does right, it has a powerful influence on a nation, and it's such a mighty force that it can cause the leaders of the nation to do right. Whether they're born again or not, that's not the thing. I don't want to use the word pressure, but the influence will cause them to make decisions in agreement with God. Because they like the vote. They like the position. They don't like to be voted against. You understand? We are a mighty voice in earth, but let's make sure that it's God's voice they're hearing, not our opinions, but the voice of God, the Word of God. Get it to the forefront. Learn it. You know, a friend of mine, he had this, actually, a motto, I guess. He's talking about students with Bible college. You win the world one student at a time. You understand? It's one student at a time. You'll find when Joshua takes the nation into the promised land, it was one city at a time. You focus on one thing. Don't try to focus on someone else till you get yourself straightened out. Jesus gave a parable about that. The mote, the beam, the speck, the big thing, little thing, big thing. You get your eye clear, you get your own eye clear before you're trying to get some out of somebody else's. And so we have to work on ourselves. And then once we work on ourselves, we're in a position to represent God. Then we won't be giving opinion. We'll be giving a word.
Verse 9. Only take heed to thyself, And keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, Gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children.
So Moses is given this new generation, if you will, the warning. First of all, he says, remember, you've seen what God's done. Don't forget what God's done. You've experienced it. Mm-hmm. And don't turn your heart away from God. Look at what happened to your forefathers that turned away from God. Learn from that. You regard the statutes. You regard these judgments that God has commanded. Not only do you do it, but you teach your children and your grandchildren. Mm-hmm. And see, this is where we failed in this nation. Parents stopped teaching children. You know, when I was growing up, church was basically people went to church. I mean, the majority of people went to church. You were taught ways. You know, as a child, you learned things about God. But I'm telling you, the generations today, you'd be surprised how many people in this city have never been taught about Jesus Christ. In this city, I'm not talking about some remote country. I'm talking about in this city. They've never been in a church. Never. What happened? Parents have failed. We haven't taught our children. The proverb says, train up a child in the way he should go. What way would that be? The way of God. So you train up a child in the ways of God. And you teach your grandchildren the same thing. You're not ashamed of who you represent. You're not saying, you're not compromising and saying, well, you know, it's a different time. I've had this said to me by a church leader that it's a different day and what worked in the Old Testament won't work today. Well, my God doesn't change and my God hasn't lost his power. And if the principle ever worked, it still works. Just like sowing in the Old Testament, you reap. Sowing in the New Testament, you reap. That hasn't changed. And so don't tell me that these things that God is speaking through Moses won't work today. No, we're not under law. We're not under legalism. We're under grace, but grace is putting emphasis on a finished work of Jesus Christ, not to where you violate law. You live up even surpass the law. Mm-hmm. Where the law said don't do it, The new covenant says, don't think it, which is better. If you don't think it, you won't do it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Keep it before your children. Well, you're not going to do it if you don't keep it before you.
Right.
You know, when I was growing up, and I thank God for this often, my mom and dad made us sit there. And they read the Bible to us every night, and you got on your knees and prayed, or you were supposed to be praying. You understand? What do they do? They're setting an example before you. They're teaching you the right way. And I'd like to tell you that I followed it all, but I strayed away. You understand? But I never got away from the teaching. I never got away from the teaching. I can still recall those things. And I don't care how late you got in, we're going to read the Bible before you go to bed. And you better not go to sleep. Thank God for people who put emphasis on the Word of God. We need to do the same thing, and we'll turn out better children. If the ministers in the churches would start preaching the Word of God instead of what they think and self-help stuff, you want to help yourself, do it God's way. You don't have to do all the marriage seminars and what you should eat, what you shouldn't eat, and all this kind of other stuff. Just do it God's way. If you obey God, then it's going to be the best possible lifestyle you can have. You understand? With a guarantee of eternity. Amen?
Amen.
Let's do it God's way. All the days that you live on earth, you do it. Teach your children. Teach those over whom you have influence. Teach them the ways of God. I'm not talking about force feeding. The kids, you may do a little force feeding. But you influence people. And don't tell them to do what you're not doing. You set the example for your kids. You understand? Then when they get older, they'll know what mom and daddy taught them. My kids never question where I am on Sunday. They don't question what I'm going to do. They already know. They know by example that God's going to be first. You understand? God first. Then you'll do what's right. You understand? God first, you'll do what's right.
I think I told y'all this before, but it came back to my remembrance here. You know, we teach our children, and sometimes we're not quite sure if they're hearing what you're saying, or at least I'm not anyway. And I recently asked my son about a decision he had made. I said, did you not remember what we had talked about? Did you not remember this word? He said, Mom, it plays in my head all the time like a radio. And I said, well, that is music to my ears. And so, you know, we said it before him. We do our best to be the example. And we teach our children. That's a responsibility I will be accountable for. Verse 11. And you came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spoke unto you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude. Only you heard a voice, and he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments, and he wrote them upon two tables of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might do them in the land whither you go over to possess it.
Now, you think of this, I mean, this is a continuation, obviously, mm-hmm. from verse 10, but how God has said, remember, okay? Mm-hmm. Remember at Horeb. Now, he's talking to people who actually were there at Horeb. It was the military that died. Those who wouldn't go into the promised land, remember? Mm-hmm. That was the military. It doesn't mean that other adults all died off. There was some who had witnessed God speaking. They saw that mountain with fire and smoke, and they heard the voice of God speaking to them, but they didn't see a form. Now that to me, it's an incredible thing. God didn't come down on form, or they'd have made an idol like a form. God spoke to them. And he let them know that they were serving a God, or they were to serve a God who could talk and who could listen. A God who was in their midst. They had a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night as a sign of God being in their midst, leading them. And he said, you heard the sound of God. You heard God speak. Before those 10 commandments were written on tables of stone. They were verbally spoken to the entire nation of Israel. Then Moses went up on the mountain and God wrote those commands in stone. But they'd heard the verbal word of God. They'd heard the commands of God. You follow me? And what God tells you verbally does not contradict what He writes, or what He writes does not contradict what He says verbally. They're in agreement. You've heard this. You'd observe these judgments that God has given you, and when you cross over into that promised land, it's just as relevant then as it is now. You do what God said to do.
Verse 15, take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for you saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spoke unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest you corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole heaven.
Now, if you think about this, it's really incredible. Now, Moses is obviously talking to a second generation, and there's a remnant of the old generation there as well. He said, you saw no form that day, so don't you corrupt yourselves by making some idol, some image, whether it's like a male or a female, whether it's like an animal or an insect, or even constellations. Don't worship the constellations. And he goes on and he talks about those constellations were put there for all the nations, not to worship, but they have a reason there. I'm going to tell you, I was looking at the moon the other night, and I'm just thinking, God, you're absolutely incredible. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw it, but I could actually see stars the other night. They weren't contaminating the skies with their garbage. But you could actually see the stars, the handiwork of God. But you don't worship that. You recognize God did that.
Yeah.
You understand? God did that. Now, what's interesting, after hearing the voice of God, God giving commands, Moses on the mountain 40 days. 40 days. And what do? They make an idol that looked like a calf. Mm-hmm. And said, this is the God that led you out of Egypt. How stupid can you be? That didn't lead you out. I mean, you almost have to be brain dead to think that. That led me out? No, it didn't even exist. How could it lead me out? But the God who spoke led me out. And we have to understand that. You don't worship the created. You worship the Creator. And we've got to keep that in focus. I'm telling you, it's so easy to do that in ministry. You can start doing things in ministry and you start seeing, we've built this, we've built that, we've done this, and we've done that. And if you're not cautious, you'll find yourself putting your attention on the wrong thing. And it gets your attention off God. I've said it before that one of the easiest places in the world for a person to backslide is in the pastor's office. Because you can do all these good things, you can justify it because the people like it, but you're not doing what God says. I know the Lord dealt with me about that. He said, when you're too busy for me, you're too busy. You understand? It's not doing good things. It's doing God things. You probably heard me say it, but a good friend of mine that I used to travel with some, he was going on an overseas trip, and he was trying to sell his house, and he told his kids before he left, he said, "Now be sure to keep the lawn mowed. It's very important that you keep that yard mowed so people drive by, you know, it's attractive." He said, "When I got home," he said, "Pete, I'm not exaggerating." He said, "That grass was like knee deep." He said, "They had painted the garage door. They had fixed this and they had fixed that." And he said, "They said, you know, boy, we did this, we did that, looking for his praise and approval." He said, "But I said, mow the lawn." He said, "When I said that, the Spirit of God spoke to me." He said, "That's what's wrong with my people. I said, mow the lawn, but they're doing all these other things. And they're wanting my approval." No, I approve what I initiate. You follow me? If you want the approval of God, do it God's way. The approval's already there. You want the blessing of God? Do it God's way. The blessing's already there. You don't have to seek it. As a matter of fact, you look at we get to this 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. The blessing seeks you. You don't seek the blessing. But why would the blessing seek you? Because you're doing what God said to do. You've got that word before you. You're keeping that word. And when you do things God's way, the blessing hunts you down. That's basically what Deuteronomy 28 is about. Or the first part of it, anyway.
I was thinking about how the Israelites, God brought them physically out of Egypt. But just because their physical bodies had left that land didn't mean they still weren't under the bondage of thinking that didn't align with God's thinking and His way of doing things.
They came out of Egypt. Egypt didn't get out of them.
Yes.
That was the problem.
They had to still be delivered from that mindset of worshiping false gods and false idols. And how do you do that? How do you change the mindset? And we all have to do the same thing. You do it by hearing the Word of God and choosing to follow the Word of God. Every one of us has to renew our thinking. We have to be washed by the water of the Word, don't we?
Yeah.
We have to choose to be led by the Holy Spirit. They're in the same boat, you understand.
You know, I think Heather shared it with you the last time we were together, but she had watched something, and she told me that she thought it'd be good if I would watch it, a YouTube thing of one of the Israeli girls who had been captured and hostage for 55 days. And that was one more impressive girl, I'm going to tell you that. But the thing that just really got my attention, and I'm going to put it in my words, was when she was released, she had had such a dramatic change in her that the things that used to intrigue her, she had no interest in, to the point that she couldn't even really communicate. Because she said they want to take me back to where I was. I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back. These Israelites kept looking back, thinking about where they came from. I thank God that He delivered me from that. I don't want to go back, and I'm not comfortable around people that I used to hang around with that are still there, you understand? Mm-hmm. I'm not comfortable in that environment. I don't want to go back. I don't want to engage them. We don't have anything in common. I want to be with people that I have something in common with, God people, people that have their mind on the Lord. They've got their mind on eternity, not on the temporary. You follow me? Israel's problem was they didn't have their mind fixed in the right place. You don't go forward looking backwards. You've got to stay focused on your destination. Amen. And our destination is living eternally with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
3 minutes. Verse 20. But the Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance, as you are this day.
Delivered out of the iron furnace.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it amazing it's called an iron furnace?
Yeah.
You think about that. Obviously, that is somewhat of a metaphor, you understand. He's not talking about literal iron furnace. But when you think of that, I mean, that is not a place you want to be. That's a place of confinement, and it's a place of in this particular case, of torment,
mm-hmm.
bondage, hard labor, things of that nature. That's what sin did to us.
Yeah.
We've been delivered from sin.
Amen.
Why would you want to look back from the thing that was trying to destroy you?
Mm.
Let's look up.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, we better stop here. Our time's
yes,
up.
Okay.
Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed. You enlarge our territory. Your hand's with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up, let your enemies be scattered, and those who hate you flee before you. Amen.
Amen.
You guys have a great weekend, and just remember God's with you.
Yeah.